The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call Act 2, Scene 15. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
We're going to have an interview later with Andrew Ferguson from Firehouse to talk about Hamiltunes and more. But first, Rich and I are going to talk about The End of War, playing at Virginia Rep through March 26. This is actually a world premiere by local playwright David L. Robbins, and it takes place in the final days of World War II in a Berlin that is devastated by bombings. A young cellist and her mother hide a secret while two Russian soldiers lead the march into the city. From the very moment the lights came up on stage, it was powerful. From the very beginning, I thought this production belongs to the masterful direction of Nathaniel Shaw, who, of course, is the new artistic director at Virginia Rep. The star of the show was the staging. I felt like Ron Keller's massive ruins, Tennessee Dixon's colossal projections on those ruins, B.J. Wilkinson's dramatic lighting, Aaron Snedeker's beautiful solo cello, and Julian Evans's persistently subtle, highly effective sound design. I thought the staging was really impressive. Managing to focus their personal drama among the spectacle were the two women who fight for survival, and Paige Larson and Eva DeVergelis both did an excellent job. I thought the two soldiers, Nicholas Ayliff and Wolf J. Sherrill, they dealt effectively with their demons, but I think their scenario was less than engrossing. David Robbins has crafted a somewhat compelling script, but I thought those soldier dialogue scenes just really slowed the momentum down, even though the final scenes were pretty gripping.
Yeah, all the technical elements are very impressive. The script, I thought it was fine. You know, if they'd stripped it down just to the Berlin scenes, I think it would have been a lot more compelling.
Absolutely.
As you said, you know, the scenes with the Soviet soldiers, you know, it's like when you've got a whole novel to play with, that's great. But when it's just the dialogue of that is just, we're men,
right,
and we fight, and we're
right,
men, and we kill, and we're men. And by the way, we're men. You know, it's like, right, you know, right, Hemingway light. I thought it was fine, but, you know, maybe I just have World War II fatigue. Maybe this is just kind of well-trod territory for me. And I realize that they're focusing on Berliners and, you know, Soviet soldiers, and it's a little bit different. But it's also, we've all been here. We all know what happens. You know, I think writing for the theater may be the hardest medium that there is to write for. You're trying to tell everything, for the most part, through dialogue. And trying to do that in a realistic fashion while getting so much going on. People are used to watching TV and film so much these days where, you know, every roughly 5 seconds you have a different visual, even if it's the
right,
same scene.
Right.
To try to get all of that momentum, to try to make it realistic, and to try to be compelling, it's really, really hard to do. I think writing for the stage is so hard. I think that David Robbins is getting better. I think that of his three plays that I've seen him do, this is the best one so far.
That would be Scorched Earth, Sam and Carol, and now End of War, right?
Yeah. You said that you found the ending really powerful. I was trying to, at the end of it, try to come up with what the play is about, really. Like, what's the message we're supposed to take home?
Well, I said gripping, actually, not
okay,
powerful. And I think the reason it was gripping is because you didn't know what was going to happen without giving too much away on the radio here. What the Russian soldiers were going to do, the hidden element was going to do. There was some tension there because we weren't sure.
If we had just focused on the mother and the daughter and what goes on there, and maybe had less of the soldiers.
Oh, absolutely, less of the soldiers.
I think it would have been a little bit more powerful. It's a decent show. It's good. I can go and say the same things you did about the like production elements.
I think anybody who goes to see it will be dazzled by that, even if they find the play less than dazzling.
I thought that the cello was an excellent way to break into the scenes, vary it up a little bit from people just talking. I kind of feel like the Soviet characters, they're almost like a demented Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. They're always commenting on things that are happening off stage.
Right. Right.
But, you know, there's very little that we actually see them do, aside from maybe throw up.
And I thought Eva DeVergelis was outstanding among all the actors. I thought her portrayal was very strong and compelling.
I thought the acting was generally fine, but I didn't think that anyone really had the ability to get completely into their character the way that I would have liked.
Like so many modern plays, and we've had this discussion before, it's that old attention span thing. If a scene goes on too long, people start getting bored. They want something new to happen. So most contemporary plays don't spend a lot of time in one scene. They jump around just to keep that going. And I think that may have been part of the reason why you couldn't really get invested in the development, because you had a lot going on and you had it very quickly.
That could be. I think just more time with either group of people to make you really care would have helped. I know you touched on this, but I think Tennessee Dixon's projections in this show in particular, I mean, they're always strong in whatever show she's
right,
working on.
Right.
But in this one in particular, between the newsreel footage and the animated
bombs and
yeah,
things,
bombs coming right, down over, you know,
oh,
the,
it was,
the backdrop
yeah,
of Berlin, it was excellent.
Not only was it excellent, but it was beautiful how that it was incorporated into the set. It was not just a screen in the middle of the stage with some projections on it. It was the environment. And I will say again, the sound design. So often with sound design, it gets in the way. and you hear it too much, and sometimes you can't even hear the dialogue. And I thought this sound design was beautifully back there. It was always there, well, almost always there. It was just like a quiet drone almost. Well, I think that we can say that the plays and the performances are potent, but the spectacular staging really elevates this production to another level.
I would agree. I think the best part of it is the production itself.
We've been talking about The End of War, which will be playing at Virginia Reps November Theater through March 26th. I'm here today with Adam Ferguson, the associate producer at Firehouse, and we got a couple of things going on besides the main stage shows, and I want to talk to you about those. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
First of all, we mentioned on Curtain Call a couple of weeks ago that Hamiltunes was going to happen at the Firehouse. That was actually in February, and I hear now you're going to do it bigger and better. Tell us about it.
Right. So we did it at the beginning of February, and it was a huge success. We had a sold-out house, which is great. So a little bit about Hamiltunes and what it is. It's a sing-along of sorts where all those Hamilton fanatics out there get a chance to sing and hear a show that they might not get a chance to see otherwise.
So you're playing the soundtrack, the entire soundtrack?
Yes. The vocals are slightly lowered just so you can hear the singers more.
You mean the local singers, not
correct.
The singers.
Right, exactly.
Well, now, is this something that they're doing all over the country? Is this something they condone, I'm assuming?
So it started out of L.A., just kind of some super fans decided one night to have a sing-along of sorts, and it kind of grew out of there, and from there, it's expanded to places like D.C. and Chicago.
And Richmond.
And Richmond, exactly.
Yeah, and this is benefiting the Artist Fund.
Correct.
Which, of course, if any of you out there don't know what that is a fund that is been created for about 10 years to help provide theater artists who may have an issue, whether it's health or financial, to give them a little step up to get through their hard times, and it's been very helpful to a number of people. And most of the theaters do an event at least once during the season, and that's what Hamiltunes is going to be.
Correct.
So what happens if somebody wants to get up there and sing The Room Where It Happens or something?
If you want to sing, you purchase a singer ticket. We're calling those revolutionary singers.
Uh-huh.
And then there is a sign-up.
Now, if you want to come and enjoy it but don't want to get up on stage, what's the deal? Can people do that?
For this particular event, there are two options that we're having for kind of supporting people. We have the support troops, which are just our general admission tickets. And then we have, for this particular event, since we are going to be at the Virginia Historical Society and have a bigger venue, we are going to do VIP tickets, which we're calling Founding Fathers and Mothers.
And what do those get you?
Reserve seating closest to the stage.
Oh, great. Okay. How do people sign up and where do they go to get tickets?
So if you're looking for tickets or more information, you just go to our website, firehousetheater.org, and all that information is listed there.
Terrific. And one last time, when is it and where is it?
It is playing Saturday, March 25th. At 2 p.m. at the Virginia Historical Society.
Terrific, terrific. When I was in high school, my junior year, I wrote my big paper on the theater of the absurd, which when I was in high school in the 60s was kind of new and interesting.
Right.
I know you've got a couple of events coming up that are related to the theater of the absurd. Tell me about some of those.
The first one we have coming up is Albee Fest, which is April 3rd through 15th. And it has various shorter one-act plays of Albee's that are
And that would be Edward Albee, right?
Correct, okay. Edward Albee.
Who's most famous, of course, for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, but he wrote a lot of stuff earlier and, of course, a lot later, too.
Right, so we're trying to do some of his lesser-known works. We're working with John Kretzu.
Right, who was in town for Stupid Fucking Bird.
Correct.
Right, right.
And he actually has some personal connections with Edward Albee and working with him and meeting him before, so he's one that brought the project to us.
Terrific, and we'll find out more about that when I do my interview with him for Sifter.
Correct.
And then how about the Bald Soprano?
So we're doing the 24-hour Bald Soprano Marathon.
Which sounds insane.
It is. It starts on the 21st of April, and it goes consecutively one every hour on the hour until the 22nd.
Is it the same cast doing it over and over again?
So they switch roles.
And so you think people are going to show up at 3 o'clock in the morning?
I think what's going to be most interesting about it, every show is going to be different because they're going to be
jumping around doing different
Different roles, but they're also going to get more and more exhausted as
I'm sure, yeah.
as the evening goes on. So it's going to be very interesting to watch.
Sounds like lots going on now. Just one last time, if people want to find out again about Hamiltunes, Bald Soprano, the Albee Fest, or any of this stuff, where do they go?
They go to firehousetheater.org.
Terrific. Adam, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
And that'll do it for this week's Curtain Call. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRIR. So this is Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.